Now you should listen to this, because this concerns you.
This is about a evil genius in love.
Headed for the door. And I wouldn't walk through anymore. And if I never ever woke again.
Hello, hello, friends. It's me. It's Dave Slusher. It's your little podcast buddy. I have not disappeared. I'm here. I'm back. I'm here. Let's go. This is Evil Genius Chronicles for August 11th, 2007. This is show number 211. 211 on 811. That's the way it worked out mathematically today. Let's rip through the business super fast. This show is Creative Commons licensed, non-commercial attribution. The music you're hearing, Gentle Readers, they're at gentlereaders.com. Show not work safe, show not kids safe, we use the potty mouth, okay? Whew, that's the fastest I've ever done that. We're like a minute in and the business is done. All right, I'm getting quicker in my old age. I'm going to go straight to some music. I've got kind of a full docket just because I have these kind of, it's like the first dump after you're constipated. When you go a long time without show, you just got to build up. You got a backlog. And so rather than make it a marathon show, I'm just going to try to get everything out in a reasonably coherent non-jumble. And let's get straight to some music. This is music that was submitted. Somebody emailed me and said, hey, would you be interested in music by this artist? And I went to the MySpace page and it was not downloadable straight from there, but I listened to some and I liked it. And I said, yeah, sure, send some to me. Sent me 4 songs. I like them all. I'm going to play 2 of them today. The artist is Rob Szabo, S-Z-A-B-O. And this is from his album, Like a Metaphor. And we're going to start out with his song, Beautiful. And this is the one, like the album title, Like a Metaphor, came from a snippet of lyric in here. Should pay particular attention to that because I'm going to make fun of him afterwards for it. But I really love this song. I love all of his songs. Actually, I'm not going to play the song that's my favorite of the 4 because it's a really long song. And the show's going to be long enough as it is, I fear. So let's go. This is Rob Szabo with Beautiful from his album Like a Metaphor.
You never tell me that I'm beautiful anymore. You only treat me like a medical condition. You understand me like a metaphor. You're a student in a class. Will I get better in a year or two? Forgive me if I ask.
You consume, oh, it's true, and it happens.
get better in a year or two. Forgive me if I ask. Forgive me if I ask. Forgive me if I ask. Forgive me if I ask.
And there you have it. The song was entitled Beautiful. The album is Like a Metaphor, and the artist is Rob Szabo. Now, really, I love the song. I think it's really funny and clever, and I think the song is really really beautiful song. And I think all the songs he sent are kind of that. I think he's a great songwriter. There is a slight grammatical quibble. I almost feel like a churl for having to bring it up. But when you say, you understand me like a metaphor, that's super clever, except... Like a metaphor is not a metaphor, it's a simile. So it kind of, I hear it, and every time I hear it, I think, that's really funny, but a little off. So, anyway, that aside, Rob Szabo, check him out. There'll be a link in the show notes at evilgeniuschronicles.org. As I said before, first show in a while. The summer has been really just brutal in many, many ways. And so the 3 weeks between shows has become commonplace. I hope, I'm not promising, but my desire is to do an actual another show tomorrow. Just to get two damn shows out in the same month for once during the summer. So the summer has been brutal for many, many reasons. I talked before about the dog. So we got a dog at the beginning of June. Who, if you listen really closely, in fact, if I turn down the music, let's see. Let's stop the music for a second. I don't know if the mic's picking up, but he's crunching a Chewy and just cavorting right behind me. He's kind of cutting the fool. And this dog, we love this dog. Sometimes he's so sweet that you just want to, you just want to curl up on him and go to sleep, which actually I have done. And then... 2 minutes later, he'll be so willfully defiant and just look you in the eye and do something so wrong and so mean-spirited that you just want to strangle him with his own intestines. And so hopefully the highs and lows will start evening out. I mean, we didn't expect him to be an issue-free dog. He spent 4 months in the Horry County Humane Society, which they tell me is the longest any dog has ever spent there. They just couldn't see him put down, so they kind of held out hope, and finally... we did adopt the poor thing. So he's becoming socialized and he is trainable. But oh my God, sometimes it's work. Sometimes I just want to stick his head in the toilet and drown him. And then other times he just curls up on your lap. And he's a 50-pound dog. He's a big dog. He wants to be a lap dog. And so he'll climb up in your entire lap and try to curl up there. Which is cute and usually unsettling. So that's been that big project at work, which hopefully this weekend, most people are working. I'm not having to work this weekend, although I am logged in. I can see my work computer right now, and I'm looking for instant messages that might be relevant to me. And I think nobody knows this, but I think I'm going to take them lunch around noon just to be a good team member. So just, all kinds of other stuff, out of town, and then we had the big party. And so I'm not going to beat this to death because I blogged about it over and over and over again. But we had the big party July 28th. It was actually a week ahead of my birthday, my 40th birthday. So much stress and so fun. And we had, I think we had 50 confirmed, but some people showed up that hadn't confirmed on the Evite. So I think it was actually more like 60 plus people. Which is kind of a lot. I mean, I know people, you people that hold 100 and 200 people parties, I scoff at your 60. We had people, a couple people came in from Virginia. Some came in from Atlanta. I mean, that was actually part of the burden. I thought, oh man, people are coming in from, 5 hour, 8 hour drives away. This can't suck. And it all worked out well. I had my hopes for the Michelle Malone show, a lot of which I didn't do a duet with her. The band got here after the party had already started, so I didn't have time to do lots of stuff. I thought they were going to set up before things got rolling in kind of the dead space. We could talk about the song and all that stuff. you know, it was already a madhouse when they got here. So that was all kind of off the table. She didn't do my song. We didn't do a duet, but it was great nonetheless. And I have audio from that, which will be in future shows. I just haven't got to it. But it was just great seeing, it was actually great seeing the mix of people, you know, old friends in, you know, more than one sense of the word. At this point, if you've known me a long time, you can't really be that young. And, you know, people that I've known for 20 plus years came to the show, or the party, the show and the party. And it was cool to see my college friends, you know, talking with my current, you know, my current co-workers, to see people I just met recently at that blogger meetup, talking to, you know, my neighbors and other people. And people seem to have a good time, which is, you know, made me really happy. And, you know, I'm old and sentimental, and just a good time. And like Mary Schmick says, the older you get, the more you need the friends who remember you when you were young. So I had a few of those. And I had a few of the ones who only met me when I was old. And speaking of old, my actual birthday was a week ago. 2 days, so my birthday's on a Friday. 2 days later, I'm sitting at the breakfast table, and I pull my chair up, and my back just, it doesn't go out, but it just starts hurting. And it just, like, aches. It's just in pain from, like, some crazy twist I made. And I'm so mad about it. I said, God damn it. I've only been 40 for 2 days, and I have fallen apart. Just the simplest move throws my back out. This is not fair. I only just turned 40. I've only been old a couple days. Which is not true. I've been old, increasingly old for a long time. But after, like, almost a week of agony, and I had kind of set Monday as the deadline of that. If my back, if standing up out of a chair hurts on Monday, I'm going to a chiropractor or a doctor or something. Friday morning, I got out of bed, and my back didn't feel great, but it didn't hurt. It just felt kind of tired and achy. It felt like I had been to the gym and done a lot of back lifts, but it didn't, you know, it didn't, it wasn't agony moving around. So, by God, I'll take that. Certainly a step up. So maybe I'm not as old as, not as broken down as I feel like I have been. So let me, speaking of friends, this is actually somebody who was, I've invited a lot of people to party that I figured probably there was not a chance in hell that they could come. But I was surprised that some of the people from out of state that I did invite did come. So I invited Darusha Wame, who you may know, you know, I met her, I was a colleague of hers, you know, via IT Conversations, although I never met her until Podcast Expo last year. And I'm going to play me here. I'll turn off the music because it's got its own music. I'm going to play a promo for Darusha's new project.
The future is boring. Technology has solved the world's most pressing problems, leaving people with tedious work and mundane play. Meet Jack, a security officer class 5, which sounds important, but isn't. However, her banal life as a cubicle worker by day and tinkerer by night is going to be interrupted when she discovers that her employer's computer system has been invaded. Jack enlists the help of her only friends, her co-worker Jill, and Adrian, an online friend she's never met, to help her track down the source of the invasion. Her investigation leads her to a shadowy group called the Red, where Jack learns that not everyone lives a life of quiet servitude. Even though she believes that the Red are responsible for a series of gruesome attacks, Jack begins to become attracted to their worldview. In her search for the people responsible for the attacks, she confronts the leaders of the group, as well as her own burgeoning sense of self-awareness. Beautiful Red is a cyberpunk romp through the streets of a future that might not be as far off as it seems. Listen online or download the episodes to your computer or portable player at darusha.ca/beautifulred. That's darusha.ca/beautifulred.
There you go, Darusha Wame's new project, Beautiful Red, and I have subscribed and I will be checking it out my damn self. So there you go. What else, you know? I was thinking I was going to have a really long show, but I'm blasting through it. And if I might call an audible and switch out my songs for the longer one, and then play the other one later. If I come up shorter than I thought, I'm going to play a couple clips, and these actually are a little bit longish, and I hope I don't lose anybody on this. I occasionally listen to, I don't listen to every episode, but I do listen to some of the Bat Segundo show, which is really Ed Champion, his crazed alter ego, Jorge. I don't even know who Bat Segundo is. He's both Jorge and Ed, and Bat, I guess. I don't know what his whole deal is. But he does an interview show where he interviews writers, and that's, you know, right up my alley. And he had a two-part interview with Burke Breathed of Bloom County and Outland and Opus and, you know, now Kids Books. And I'm going to play, just to be a dick, I'm going to play a couple minutes that I vehemently disagreed with. I thought there was a lot of really interesting stuff, you know, background on his life and career, you know, and kind of good philosophical stuff. And then there was a couple bits that I just could not disagree with more strongly. So I guess this will be a few minutes. I'm going to play them, you know, I've got them queued to two different spots. One of the downsides of, you know, MP3s on using the QuickTime player, you can't have more than one copy of the same file open. So I have to copy it and queue it up to different spots. Kind of a drag, but here we go. Here's Burke Breathed talking to Ed Champion. And sort of listen to what he has to say. So he's getting into my hobby horses. He's attacking my sacred cows. So I respond. I get a little antsy.
Comics were a found art. You open the page, you discover Calvin Hobbes for the first time, and know your life's not going to change. You're going to read that every day. Well, you've had to have found it the first time, and it has to be delivered to your doorstep every day. I can't think of a single thing like that on a computer, where everyone is reading the same thing. YouTube has kind of brought it close, but even then, I mean, think, we had readerships of 50 to 100 million people in the 80s and 70s for a given piece of entertainment, a single strip. Same person in Kentucky is going to be reading it, and it's the same person in LA, New York City. You're not going to have that. You're going to, instead of having 75 comic strips with readerships of 20 to 100 million, you're going to have thousands of comic strips with readerships of several hundred to 1,000. That's a sea change in its effect on society. And the pop culture, I think, has an effect. The unifying aspect of pop culture, I think, is overlooked. And we're losing that. We're not all listening to the same music. We're not all reading the same cartoons. We're not laughing at the same joke across the country. It's a unifying aspect of our nation that's passing. It hasn't happened with books and movies yet. And I think they're less threatened than the others. It's one of the few mediums, films, one of the few mediums left that a kid in New York City will be enjoying at the same moment that a kid in Seattle and a kid in the Deep South and a kid in Hawaii and even around the rest of the world. Music's pretty...
Okay, so we're going to stop right there. And then Ed, so if you listen to this, Ed kind of pushes back on this notion, which God bless Ed. Because, for example, Ed is exactly in the camp that Breathed is kind of dismissing with his podcast that Breathed is on. Okay, fast forward about a minute. Here's some more along that vein.
We will have wonderful opportunities for all those cartoonists who could never have gotten on a cartoon page to have their own cartoon strips and with other people looking at them. That, obviously, is the flip side, and that's the democratization of an art form. Evil side to that, not evil side, the unfortunate side is that we will lose classics. There won't be classic comic strips coming from the web. I promise you. It's not going to happen. And unless you redefine what classic means. Mm-hmm. Classic meaning 10,000 readers.
Yeah.
Well, classic in the old days meant the entire world was reading Blondie. You know, the entire world. On 1955... the freeways emptied in this country because everyone was home watching Milton Berle on television.
Yeah.
The entire country was laughing at the same thing at the same moment. I think there's power in that, and it's not bad. Does that mean the cost of that is there a whole lot of people weren't allowed on that television? A lot of other talented people who would have liked to be in Milton Berle's spot didn't have an opportunity to get on. True. Now everybody can be a star for 5 minutes. And have on YouTube and have their video on there. They're on TV. Yes, it's opened it up. It's no longer Milton Berle. But really, what does it all matter now? Because it's not culturally, it's not providing any phenomena that we can all use as a touchstone. that binds us as a culture and as a nation and as a generation, a shared sensibility of something. And Milton Berle's a good example because it was so extreme. The Beatles being enjoyed by kids all around the world. There will never be another Beatles. There will never be, much less than the Beatles. There's too many opportunities now. With the opportunity...
Do you hear that? Hold on to that thought. There are too many opportunities.
Spread out, paper thin. It's eliminating the possibility of great, rare classics.
What if Gnarls Barkley, the architect?
Okay, so we'll So as much as I really love the work of Breathed, boy, I don't know that I could even disagree with the basic fundamental concept he's espousing there. I don't know that I could disagree any more strongly. And I love that he used Milton Berle because it's kind of a two-edged sword. He's kind of using it as an example of, you know, something that brought the nation together. Everyone watched Uncle Milty, which was true because at the time you had three. Hell, at that time you may not have had three networks. You might have had two networks back then. So, this kind of golden age of shared culture that he's kind of hearkening back to. I've said this, I don't know how many times. I've blogged about it. I've said it. That was a technological anomaly. For almost all of recorded history, you didn't have the means of getting the culture out to that many people. It was very slow, you know. The Iliad got out to people, but it was very slow, you know. It was like person to person, oral tradition. You may know the same folk song or variations of the same folk song, but it transmitted person to person, say in the Middle Ages. Technologically, we advanced to the point where you could actually get newspapers printed and out to a lot of people, and then you could get radio out to a lot of people, and then television out to a lot of people. But it was not at the point where you could get lots of radio and lots of television out to people. So you had a broadcast mechanism, but not a broadband broadcast mechanism. So you can get a lot of stuff out. You can get a thin layer out to a lot of people. And that's what people are kind of romanticizing, is this point where you had the coverage, but no choices. Oh, don't you miss those days when we had no choices about what to watch and whatever bullshit they threw up on ABC and NBC. That's what everybody had to watch. So back to Uncle Milty. I've watched those Uncle Miltys. I love comedy. You know, I love comedy, you know, the history of comedy. So I love old stuff. I think Uncle Milty, if you watch those shows, fucking sucked. They were horrible. There was nothing particularly funny about it. It was really broad. Milty puts on a dress. That's the big joke. Woohoo! And kind of acts sort of campy and gay. And that was the big fun. Hit with a pie in the face and crap like that. It was super lowbrow. It was really, honestly, kind of bullshit art. And so the fact that everybody loved it didn't have so much to do with the goodness of the art. It had to do with the lack of choice and the low common denominator of the art. And later on in that conversation, they are actually, I think in the part that I cut out, they mentioned Garfield, which is kind of like the comic strip equivalent. Garfield, you know, it's kind of 99 out of 100 Garfield strips are bullshit, but lots of people see them. It's not particularly good art. So Breathed really is defining classic as wide audience. And so he kind of talks about the joy of having everybody listening to the same thing. Well, as an old fart, an even older fart than me, he doesn't understand that there is another joy that I think probably is better. And that's the joy of both discovery and the joy of kind of evangelism. Sure, it's great when, you know, you've got a couple choices and, you know, everybody listens to it and you can talk about it. I think even better is being able to say to people, I love this. Hey, there's this guy, Rob Szabo, and I really like his music. Why don't you check it out? Hey, Dave, I really loved that. Thank you. Hey, Dave, thanks for turning me on to Michelle Malone, like a number of people said to me after my party. Thank you. So I got the joy of evangelism. They got the joy of discovery. And now we have a shared thing. I don't need to share Michelle Malone with the entire country. I shared her with my friends, and now we've all got something in common, and everybody wins. To me, I think the rest, romanticizing the rest, is just, it's silly. I understand why people of a certain age do it, and I understand why somebody who benefited very, very well from the system as it was set up might think more highly of the system than a lot of us do. But I don't. I don't miss that at all. I don't think this, you know, unifying shared culture thing was, you know, I don't think it was that much. I don't think it was worth paying for it in a low common denominator kind of broad art. I'm all about the niche. You know, a lot of the podcasts I listen to are so niche. You, minus podcasting, it's hard to imagine a way that that could possibly get to me. But it really speaks to me. And this is the theme I've been going at for 3 years now, is, you know, the economics are such that the niche, that something that matters to few people but matters highly to people is now possible. And so what only matters to Breathed is the reach, the number, of the quantity. But he doesn't seem to care that the quality of the engagement might be much higher with these more niche content. And so then, you know, listening to him, maybe shortly after, maybe 2 or 3 days after I heard that, I saw that interview with Chris Onstad, who does Akewood, which is the only webcomic I follow on a daily basis. And it's not even a daily comic. He puts it out, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. And that guy makes his living off his webcomic. His wife, he and his wife make their, you know, household living off of it. And he had to hire a staffer to ship stuff because it was taking too much of his day. So basically, three people's livelihoods now are on his webcomic. No middleman, just him and his website. So there's no syndicate taking a cut, nobody to tell him what to do. To me, I'd much rather have a world with, you know, 1,000 Chris Onstads than 1 Burke Breathed. Frankly, I think that's a good trade. And when he kind of dismissed the democratization of media, that's when I don't think I have any Irish, but my Irish was up anyway. I just was like, kind of like when my dog gets the little shark fin on the back of his neck. It's on. It's on now, baby. That's where he really kind of pissed me off. So enough about that. The show's not too long. Speaking of Rob Szabo, speaking of discovery and evangelism, and it being hot as balls outside, 100 degrees yesterday, which in a coastal town where the humidity when it's hot is like 100%, that's pretty crushing. Heat index was, I think, 116 here. You walk outside for 1 minute and you're sweaty. It's just, oh, it's horrible. So here's Rob's song to celebrate this heat wave from a different album. I got 3 songs from Like a Metaphor and 1 from this album, A Battery of Tests. This is Rob Szabo with I Live for the Summer. A little bit of irony here because I'm ready for the summer to go. But I Live for the Summer by Rob Szabo.
I'm loving this, but I hope we don't last the summer, 'cause I can't forget the chill I got last December. So I put on well, there are so complex, yet we forge ahead without knowing what's at risk. You ask why? Well, what is the difference? You need something you can measure. Can't we try? Or do you need an audience? Well, where's your sense of adventure? The wind, it whips in its place. Now don't be upset, it only grows here from May to October. Way up north like this, there's no time for the ground to recover. So we all forget we can live like this if we had to be honest. You ask why? Well, what is the difference? Do you need something you can measure? So alive. Well, I always dreamt I live way south of the border. The months came without any leaves changing color. We didn't have to forget we could live like kids.
Rob Zombo from his album A Battery of Tests. That was I Live for the Summer. Love that song. Nice kind of epic, like an epic ballad almost. And I'm a real sucker for the way, you know, it's mostly acoustic and then kind of on the chorus where the electric guitar kind of kicked in. Had almost that spare Liz Phair sound to it. I just dig that. Dig that whole song. And really liking everything I've heard from Rob Zombo. So there you have it, my friends. Quick little note, I will be speaking at the Podcast Expo or New Media Expo or whatever it is. From a branding sense, the fact that they change the name of it every single year kind of sucks a little. New Media Expo, I guess, in end of September. My talk this year is about the changes that podcasting work on you as an individual. And I'm going to talk to some people about it, podcasters who feel like they're a different person because they podcast. And so I'm not talking about all the kind of external rewards and the things that can come out of it and the money, which of course is 90% of what people want to talk about. But it's more like, you know, kind of a continuation of the thread I've been exploring in my talks there is, you know, why do this? Well, one possible reason is you're a different, better person. And I suppose you could be a different, worse person. But my thesis is that you're a different, better person. So if you have any interest in talking to me on that subject, drop me an email at dslusher@gmail.com, which is how you can get in touch with me for any reason. Also, the show notes would be up at evilgeniuschronicles.org. If the creeks don't rise and I'm able to do it, I'm going to publish another show this weekend. Just to remember what it was like back when I was prolific and young-ish. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Try to, as always, when it's been a long layoff, I'll try to make it less of a layoff next time. And there are no promises in this life, no promises from me, but I will catch you again next time.